Today's program was brought to you by New York Wines, reminding you to eat and drink local this Thanksgiving. For more information, visit newyorkwines.org.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. And there's no denying that this is a very, very disorienting, confusing week for many people just following the election on Tuesday. And I just have to say that I found a lot of comfort just kind of a soothing sort of meditative relaxation from cooking a lot at home. And the last thing I wanted to do was order out. I know that a lot of people are actually flip-flop, like they're the opposite. The last thing they want to do is cook. It's interesting. So I'm really, really excited to share and talk with my guest today. He is an amazing chef, the chef for the last 20 years, that is, at Chez Panisse in Berkeley, California. It is Cal Peternel. How are you?
Good. Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for joining. Your latest book is called A Recipe for Cooking.
Yeah.
And you're also the author of The 12 Recipes, which came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the follow-up to it. And I really love how your message is all about, you know, you're a restaurant chef, so your livelihood is based on restaurant, attendance, whatever, you know what I mean, business. Mm-hmm. And but you really, really advocate for cooking. And
yeah.
You try to tell your kids to do that. Why would you do that? It's going to put you out of the business, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, I always, even when the customers are coming through the kitchen at Chez Panisse and we always invite them into the kitchen, I'm encouraging them to cook because mm-hmm. I know they're not going to cook at home every night and they're going to still come to Chez Panisse. But I just think that, like you said, you know, there's solace to be found in cooking, and it can be a place where you can really get your hands into your work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the last place where we actually make things for most of us. Not many of us are still making our homes or our shoes, but we still can make dinner, and there's so much satisfaction in that, and being able to share both the cooking and the eating with your family and friends, I think, can really feel like the cure.
Yeah. I love how you you mentioned that your oldest son, I believe, Henderson?
Henderson, yeah.
Yeah, he is an artist.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, when not creating something on a canvas, is making rolling pasta dough at home as
right.
well.
Yeah, he's really... I guess he's really followed in my wife, Kathleen Henderson, is an artist. She's here with us.
Hi.
And
thanks so much for joining us, too.
And so he's really, he's doing both. He's cooking
yeah.
and he's making art. And I think he does also find that that satisfaction in it. And, you know, if you compare those two things, there's a real immediate feedback loop for cooking, that you make something great, you feed it to your friends, you feed it
mm-hmm.
to your family, or you feed it to strangers, and they're going to tell you right away, that was so great. Art making, you don't always get that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you get it eventually, but I think that he gets a different kind of, he gets a different kind of juju from mm-hmm. both of them.
Yeah. Do you get that too, Kathleen? Just curious, as an artist yourself.
Well, it can be really solitary working away in the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it works fine for me. I like those solitary times.
Yeah. I think it's a little similar in that you're focused on one thing at hand. It's creative. It changes,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. And that's your whole philosophy throughout this book, which I really have to say, I think it captures a great attitude on cooking that a lot of people... whether chefs or, you know, it's obviously, you know, this is mostly meant for home cooks, but,
yeah.
You know, you encourage everything from using up leftovers, substituting ingredients, adapting to seasons, adapting to group sizes and so forth, that, in a way that it shows through in the recipes. You know, sometimes you say, the best fish you can find, yeah, you know, in yeah. the ingredient list.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I try to, you know, I find it kind of annoying sometimes when you read a cookbook and there's just too many unspecified ingredients and amounts, you know, and you can't just say everything to taste. I think part of what people come to cookbooks for is to get my expertise, right? And
yeah.
So I need to tell them, guide them, at least say, here's how it tastes best to me when I put this much salt or this much oil or cook it for this long. But you should also find out how it tastes best for you. And, you know, something I'm trying to do with both of the books is to kind of, I feel like there's a lot of fear around cooking. People are afraid that they're going to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you get yourself set with a good pantry, you get a few essentials and stuff that you can, and you with a little bit of planning, you can kind of roll along and cook for yourself, and through repetition, you know, you get better and it gets easier, and that kind of fear starts to go away because you have little successes. Of course, you learn from your failures, but the successes and the feedback that you get from people really helps you get rid of some of that fear.
Yeah, and that's why I really appreciate your philosophy, because I find that it's really hard to get people who haven't cooked much before away from this mindset that, you know, perfection is like, it's either perfect or don't even try.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, you know, putting on it, this whole to-do of this big fuss whenever they endeavor to cook anything is hard to get away from until you just try it a few times. Hopefully.
Yeah. And also, you know, perfect is, a changing thing, right? It's like what's perfect for one day might not be for the next. And that's, you know, that's kind of where the title of this book comes from, A Recipe for Cooking. Is that more than just the, you know, the onions and the salt and the olive oil and the other ingredients go into the recipe, or are parts of the recipe. There's also, you know, how much time you have, your skill level, your access to ingredients,
okay.
who's coming for dinner,
right.
who's going to help you clean
up. What time of year it is, maybe?
What time
All
of year
these
it
things.
Is. The weather.
How you feel physically, how hungry you are.
Exactly. Right? And, you know, yeah. I think it's important to keep the sort of cooking within the context of your life and not knock it out, which sometimes means you're going to really go for it and, you know, spend hours in the kitchen, and hopefully that's pleasant for
yeah.
you. But then there's other times when that's just the wrong thing to do, and you need to, like, whip up the, you know, pasta or an omelet or something like that.
Is that your go-tos? Pasta or an omelet?
Yeah. I think pasta's kind of our go-to. We try and eat a little less pasta because sometimes it makes us feel like we're getting a little fat, because maybe we're getting a little fat.
I was going to say, you know.
Yeah, but
you should stave off the pasta a little.
Yeah. but we love pasta, and it's one of those things that, like, even if you didn't go shopping, you got a package of pasta, maybe you have a can of tomatoes and some olive oil and garlic, and you're kind of there. You know.
I love that go-to.
Yeah, me too.
And who doesn't love it, too?
Yeah, everyone does.
Right. And that's one of those things you can get in a restaurant, and you'll have this, like, really simple, like, you know, pasta with, like, butter and, like, cheese, and it'll cost, like, $25.
Yeah. So, like, I know, right? Our sons, sometimes feel like, you know, we hardly ever will make, like, a separate dish for them, but, like, we have a 12-year-old son now, and we are always trying to get him to eat what we're eating, but once in a while we'll make him that, you know, instead of having the pasta with, like, artichokes and anchovies or something that we're having, we'll make him a little plate of pasta with just butter and cheese, and it's such a treat, you know, he's
so
like,
good.
Oh my God.
Okay, so you can,
you.
So with pasta, this gives you the freedom or the adaptability to kind of make personal dishes for people who might not like anchovies and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Right.
All right, let's talk a lot more ideas for easy weeknight meals, more with Cal Peternell, after a quick little commercial break.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanksgiving is a great time to support New York farmers, including local wineries. Find great white wines, red wines, and rosés from Long Island, the Hudson River region, the Finger Lakes, and beyond at New York City wine shops and restaurants. This Thanksgiving, New York Wines is proud to partner with Fleischer's Craft Butchery, which supports local farmers raising heritage breed turkeys in New York State. With a healthy dose of ingenuity and a collaborative winemaking culture, the number of wineries in New York has grown exponentially over the last 10 years, as has the quality of the wines they produce. New York is a world-class wine region offering quality, variety, and value, the perfect trifecta for a bountiful Thanksgiving feast. For information on more than 400 New York wineries, please visit newyorkwines.org.
All right, we're back chatting with Chef Cal Peternel, his wife Kathleen Henderson, the artist. And how's everything at Chez Panisse right now? You're on a book tour for this cookbook we've been talking about, A Recipe for Cooking. Mm-hmm. And you've been a chef there for a good number of years.
Yeah, for over 20 years. Things are good there. It's kind of exciting for the cooks and customers to have chef who was the... who's there long ago, come back mm-hmm. and kind of help cover for me while I'm gone.
Paul, oh, that's nice.
Paul Bertoli,
okay.
Who has a really great charcuterie business now. But we got in touch with him and said, you know, you want to come back, you know, put the band back together and like do a couple of gigs. And he said, yeah. So his menus look, you know, they look different and exciting. I mean, they fit within
wow.
what we do, but that's been pretty great. And, yeah, the season's changing. When I go back, mm-hmm. you know, when I left, we were still, you know, we have that sort of wonderfully long season in California
right.
where we still had nice tomatoes in the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I go back, the tomatoes are done. The peppers are probably done. But and so all those like ripe, sweet flavors, we're going to have to wait till next year.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's all the wonderful stuff that we have in the winter, all the different radicchios and other chicories and
squashes,
you know, the squashes, brassicas. Yeah, like the winter squashes and artichokes, and soon there'll be cardoons, and that they kind of allow you to, you know, in the sun, when you slice up a tomato and it's perfect, you really don't have to and probably shouldn't do that much to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the same goes for winter produce when it's perfect, but it tends to have a kind of a stronger flavor of its own. There's a lot of bitter flavors, and it allows you to bring in stronger dressings and maybe put a little bit of pork with the greens. And so that it's that kind of winter comfort that we're looking
forward
to.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You just got me really hungry.
Right.
So you have a charming story in the beginning of this book about how you got a job at Chez Panisse.
Yeah.
So basically, Kathleen, since you're here, you were the catalyst for this.
Yes, I was.
What happened here? So you drove him and you said, go ahead.
Well, we had a three-year-old at the time, mm-hmm. and I was 8 months pregnant. And Cal was a sous chef in San Francisco, and he was
okay.
coming home every day on the train, just exhausted, dragging himself home. And I thought, how are we going to do this with a new baby? And I had heard that they were looking for somebody at Chez Panisse, and Cal's like, I can't work there. That's like a legendary place.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning, I was thinking, well, I can't raise these two kids by myself. I need a husband back. So I drove over to Chez Panisse and parked out front, and he said, you can't park here. It's a yellow curb. And I said, I'm not parking here. Get out and get a job.
Wow.
And I kicked him out of the car. And he
oh, my gosh. And then you went in and got a job just
yeah,
like that.
I went in. Luckily, the first person I saw was someone that I knew. And I said, you know, hey, can I talk about a job? And they said, yeah, why don't you come next Saturday and do a tryout, cook with us? And I did. And I came back and cooked with them again on a Saturday. And then they said, as I was leaving, you know, come back next Saturday maybe and make lunch for us. And I said, well, like, what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, just like a nice lunch something that you really love, and it'll be for Alice Waters and Lindsay Shear, who was a pastry chef then, and all the other chefs there, which was terrifying, of course. And I didn't sleep a lot that week. And Kathleen helped me out a lot with shopping because I was working. And I put something together for the, you know, I did my homework. I knew what they liked.
Nice.
And I cooked it, they ate it, and they loved it. I even got some delicious Santa Rosa plums from a supplier that they didn't seem to know about, so I scored some extra points.
And he started, and a week later, we had a new baby, and he took time off for paternity
leave.
Oh,
my goodness.
I knew I knew I had done the right thing when I told them, you know, they said, okay, you're hired, and you can start, you know, August 15th or something. And I said, well, you know, my wife is due September 1st or with a baby, so if you want, you know, I'm going to need some time off. So if you want, I can start after that. And they were like, no, it's okay. You can take the time off. You should start now.
Uh-huh.
That's when I knew I was at the right place.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I love that it was, you didn't have really the gumption to to get a job at Chez Panisse if it weren't for Kathleen's,
it's true,
you know, insistence of being
I'm sometimes
family,
a little afraid of change.
Yeah. No, but all in the name of I guess, a good work-life balance, which... I think that that's such an anomaly here in New York City. With restaurants, it's very different, of course.
Well, a lot of restaurants.
Everywhere, right.
Yeah, they have a big turnover. And we're, you know, we're feeling that a little bit more there now.
Okay.
Things have kind of changed. Of course, you probably know the Bay Area has become really expensive to live, and so it's hard to get cooks who can afford to live there on a cook's wages. I mean, we pay good wages, but... It's getting more and more expensive by the minute. And we have a lot of competition now. There's lots of good restaurants in the Bay Area. And then the other thing is that all those people working in the tech companies, and especially the ones that are leading the tech companies, are looking for private chefs.
Okay.
And so we do lose some of our good cooks to
headquarters.
Private chefs. Yeah. Either at the business or at their home.
Right.
And, you know, they can triple their salary, and it's hard to tell them that it's a bad idea. But I will say that have had some who've left to do that and come back to us, which feels really good.
Whoa. All right.
Because, you know, it's good to... For a lot of us, we like to work in the group in a collaborative thing and have other people to bounce your ideas off of and sort of develop ideas together. And those private chef jobs, as good as they can be and as well paid, you're kind of on your own, you know?
It's a new thing, and it definitely is an institution, Chez Panisse, and it's a really inspiring one. So
yeah,
it's cool. I hope it'll inspire more in the years to come.
I think it will.
Awesome. So it's almost the end of the year, so I'd like to ask everyone what you're looking forward to, maybe in the world of food policy, maybe on a micro local level in your community or in your just corner of the world with regards to food developments.
Well, I mean, even just coming to New York, the last time I was here, I haven't been here for over a year. It feels like the ingredients are better, and that there's more access to and more awareness of really good ingredients and a variety.
So when was the last time you were here in New York then? So for the last book then, I guess?
Have I been here since then? Okay. No, I think that was the last time, yeah.
All right.
Because that's when my son was finishing school, too, so I was
here. So there's a marked difference or improvement, you think?
In the last 2 years, I do think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had some great meals in the few days we've been here, and a little more, you know, something I miss whenever I travel is all the salads and vegetables that we get in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see
it's colder here. We can't help it.
I know.
Have all those tomatoes for
no,
that long.
No, I know. It's true. And we are spoiled out there, and I know that. But
actually, you have a good point.
Yeah. It's changing. I mean, we had a ridiculously delicious radicchio salad today at Via Carota. We had great, really vegetably dishes at Untitled.
Oh,
at
awesome.
The New Whitney, so good.
Did you?
And
get
great
to catch
dinner
up
at
with Mike Anthony
at Reynard. Yeah, yeah, and we saw Mike, and he came out, and even his sort of forager, the person who finds their
wonderful.
Ingredients,
yeah, they
came out,
oh,
yeah,
great.
To talk to us because you know they know that how important that is to us, and so they're kind of bonding on that level.
Well, a warm welcome to you both in New York City, and I'm so glad that you could make it on Heritage Radio Network while you're here.
Me too. I always come here. And I'll be here for the next book if you have me.
All right. Well, cheers to that.
Yeah.
And I hope you do come out with the next book. But for now, everyone should definitely get on their wish list this holiday, A Recipe for Cooking by Cal Peternell. And hey, check it out. Also, 12 Recipes. Also a good one.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
They look good on the shelf together.
They do.
<Yeah.
laughs> Nice little pair.
Yeah.
All right, thanks everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. Never had no loving like this before.